This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. Everything's relative. Certainly you've heard that phrase before, used to justify all sorts of things. But is it really true? Does what is right or wrong, true or false, only depend upon your situation? Millions now believe that to be the case.
On today's program, we'll expose the flawed logic behind that kind of thinking, and we'll bring you an update on one man who has stood up, at great cost to himself, for the unchanging truth of God expressed in the Ten Commandments, Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. We'll also show you a great resource that will encourage your faith.
And I'm John Sorensen. There are many ways to look at the problems around us, but I'll be back later to share with you a resource to help you follow the one true way.
American universities have been on the forefront of preaching moral relativism, the idea that truth changes according to the situation, for decades now. We begin with a bold message that my father, the late D. James Kennedy, delivered on the campus of Yale University in 1993, called Absolutes in a Relativistic Age.
Dr. Alan Bloom, professor of social thought at the University of Chicago, and former professor at Yale University, a school located around here somewhere, I'm told, is the author of a very big book of the past 5 years, The Closing of the American Mind. And interestingly, in that book, he says, in the very first sentence of the first paragraph of the first chapter, he says this: there is one thing a professor can be absolutely certain of. Almost every student entering the university believes, or says he believes, that truth is relative. There are no absolutes. Now, Mark Twain said, the problem with most people is not what they don't know, but what they know for certain that isn't true. When a teacher or professor says, there are no absolutes, you need to understand what he is saying. He is also saying, there is no God. Because you see, God is the ultimate absolute. He is absolutely supreme. He is absolutely infinite in his power and his wisdom and his knowledge and everything, all of his attributes. God is the ultimate absolute, and what he says is the ultimate and absolute truth. And therefore, keep in mind that when anyone says there are no absolutes, they are simply giving you a veiled and cloaked atheism. And maybe they don't wish to come out and state it, but that is exactly what they are doing under the cover of no absolutes. People will say that things are changing today, and that's certainly true. And what was true 10 years ago may not be true today. That's true in science. That's true in the mores of people. It's not true with God. God is immutable, unchangeable. He never changes. His truth changes not. That does not change. And it doesn't matter if everyone in the world joins hands and they vote unanimously that his truth is false, it still remains true. And it remains true whether I believe in it or I don't believe in it. Whether you accept it or you reject it does not alter the fact that it does exist. We see a great many changes in our educational system, and we've seen them in the last several decades, and unfortunately, most of them have not been good. One scholar pointed out that in our public school system in America that we have been dropping 1 month per year academically. And it's interesting to look at tests that were given to students 50 or 80 years ago and see the fact that many college graduates couldn't pass a high school entrance examination given in 1900. Not only is it true that when a person says there are no absolutes, are they saying that there is no God, they're also saying that there is no Word of God, that the Scriptures are not the Word of God. Now, the Bible says over and over again, Jesus said of the Word, "Thy Word is truth," and that heaven and earth shall pass away, but one jot or one tittle of the law shall in no wise pass away till all be fulfilled. The Bible says that it is truth. It is truth revealed from God. Therefore, it is absolutely true. When God's Word says something, that is the Word of God, and that is true. Now, that is not based merely on some predilection on my part or those that believe, but it is based upon evidence. God gives evidence whereby we may know that the Scriptures are indeed the Word of God, evidence which has convinced hundreds of millions of people over the years. Now, when people say that there are no absolutes, they are also saying that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Because as God the Son, He Himself is absolute. He is without sin, without imperfection. He was the altogether perfect one. So keep in mind that whenever a person says there are no absolutes, they are saying there is no God, the Bible is not the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And I think that we need to see that that is quite a lot of transporting the truths from physics into the realm of religion and morality. Now, with relativistic morals, there also comes subjectivism. And there is no objective standard outside. And now, today, we no longer talk about morals, we talk about values, a term that Nietzsche gave to us. And values are simply anything that anyone chooses to place a value upon. And somehow, we have come to the place of believing that every person has some authority to decide whatever is good or bad for him, whatever is right or wrong, whatever is of value and what is not of value. And of course, a corollary of that is that he cannot impose that upon anyone else. You can't impose your values on someone else. That's absolutely true, as long as you're talking about merely values which we have simply accepted. God's law, however, applies to all created beings because He is the Creator, and He will apply it to all of them without exception. Another corollary of that is that since our values and mores do not come from God, they must come from some source that influences us, and that is cultural. So these values, these morals are relativistic, they are individual, they are subjective, and they are culturally induced. Now, however, we find that we can't live with that kind of a view of life. One person says, we don't live our lives relativistically. If you're waiting in your car at a train crossing, and there's a train, huge train coming at 60 miles an hour, you know that if you get your car out in front of that train, you know that you're not going to be relatively dead. You're going to be absolutely dead. We can't live by that. And numerous social critics and philosophers and social scientists are saying that it is this view of moral relativism that is absolutely causing the morality of this nation to crumble before our eyes. I come from Fort Lauderdale. In the past 3 months, we have had 3 people murdered by 3 different 13-year-olds. One, because a man took a second piece of pizza instead of just the one that he offered him. He went home, got a gun, came back, and shot him several times in the chest. Second one, somebody had beat up a friend of his, so he went and got a knife and stabbed him to death. Third one, 13-year-old boy, saw I think it was a German or British tourist, I believe, and was involved in the shooting and killing of that man for no known reason except possibly to rob them. This is the kind of degeneration that is taking place in our society, where now people are even afraid to drive on the streets without people taking shots at them because there are no moral standards anymore in our world. But over against the moral relativism of our time, I think we need desperately to reassert the fact of what Jesus Christ said. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. As a young man, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. I came to see a love that I had never known before. A person who loved me not because of anything that I was, but in spite of everything that I was. A person who loved me purely and only because of what he was. A God of all grace and a God of love. And I want you to know that my heart melted before that love. And I slipped out of that easy chair onto my knees for the first time in my adult life. And I said, "Oh God, I didn't know. I didn't know. Forgive me. Forgive me." I didn't see any angels. I heard no angelic choirs. But I stood up from that prayer a different man. The next morning, while I was shaving, I remember the thought came into my mind, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, declares that I am going to live with him in paradise forever. And a chill went right down my spine. And that, my dear friends, is the greatest absolute I have ever learned. And if you have not experienced it, if you have not claimed it, God invites you to come to him and receive the free gift of everlasting life. May we pray. O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. And there are some here tonight, Lord, whose hearts are just that way. They have sought fulfillment, as Augustine did, in learning, in education, in knowledge, but that God-shaped blank within their hearts has not been filled. Lord, I pray that right now you will enable them, as so many have done before, to say, "O Christ, I surrender my life to you. I know I'm a sinner. Underneath all of the pretensions, I know that I have done many things that I am ashamed of. How must you, the all-holy God, look upon them? And yet, amazing to say, you are willing to wash me whiter than snow, to forgive me, to cleanse me, and to accept me as your child now and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God, I pray. Amen.
We hope you prayed that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. If you did, we'd like to help you get started in a brand new life by sending you Beginning Again, a book written by Dr. Kennedy. You'll discover the joy of living a life surrendered to a loving God. To receive Beginning Again, write to our address or call our toll-free number. You can also go online to truthinaction.org. God bless you.
As Dr. Kennedy noted in his message today, relativism is causing the morality of this nation to crumble before our eyes. When we deny that there are absolute truths, we essentially deny God and commit intellectual suicide. It's impossible to live that way, but many will die trying.
And sadly, the wreckage of this decay is not confined to the college campuses from which it sprang. It takes a real hero to stand up against the tide, to stand up for what is right, to choose the harder right than the easier wrong, as the cadet prayer puts it. One such hero through the years is Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore.
At this ministry, we first interviewed Roy Moore in his modest courtroom in Gadsden, Alabama in 1995. He had run afoul of the ACLU because he had the temerity to have a hand-carved copy of the Ten Commandments on his courtroom wall. He went on to be elected as the Chief Justice of Alabama's Supreme Court, but paid a high cost for his stand in favor of the Ten Commandments.
Because of the spate of ACLU lawsuits over six decades and the many judges who have done their bidding by twisting the First Amendment, today a very noble man is under siege. I'm referring to Judge Roy Moore, the former Chief Justice of the state of Alabama, elected by the people of that state, but cast out by a handful of people, mostly judges.
Judicial tyranny is where a judge takes the law into his own hands. When a person not sworn to uphold the Constitution takes the law into their own hands, we call that anarchy. When a judge takes the law in his own hands, he commits tyranny.
Justice Roy Moore of Alabama knows what judicial tyranny is firsthand. He was on the receiving end of it. The former Chief Justice of Alabama's Supreme Court took a strong stance for public display of the Ten Commandments, which are the historical basis of our laws. His stance cost him his job. Consider a review of Roy Moore's case on behalf of the Decalogue God gave Moses on Mount Sinai more than 3,000 years ago.
When I first put the plaque of the Ten Commandments up on the wall, I had no idea that this case would receive national attention.
He asked me what I thought about it. It was hanging over our table. He called me in there and said, "What do you think about this?" And I said, "I think it'd be great." And he said, "Well, what if somebody says something about it?" I said, "What would they say?"
There's no law saying that I can't decorate my courtroom in any manner I choose. And actually what I've done is chosen to decorate the courtroom so as to depict the history of our country, the foundation of American law, and the foundation of our Constitution, which is a belief in God. In my tenure as a circuit judge, I've handled all kind of violent crimes. I had one case where a mother drowned her child face up in a bathtub of water between her legs so that her father could not get custody. We've had terrible crimes, and I seriously wonder why the ACLU is attacking me for a posting of commandments which read, "Thou shalt not kill."
I think the Ten Commandments are a precious gift from God, and the only problem with Judge Moore having them in his courtroom is that he has acknowledged that he has the Ten Commandments there for the purpose of promoting religion, and that's unconstitutional.
Well, I think that the fact of the matter is that Judge Moore has the right to put those Ten Commandments up there, and the fact that it reflects his religious beliefs is even more the reason that he should be entitled to exercise his free speech rights, his free exercise of religion rights in that courtroom.
We do not live by the Ten Commandments. The people in the United States do not live by the Ten Commandments. We do not have to. We're a secular nation. We're not a Christian nation.
When we have a case come before the court, we do not judge according to the Ten Commandments per se. We advise our juries of the laws according to the state of Alabama. It happens to be that those laws are patterned after the Ten Commandments and biblical precepts.
The Ten Commandments themselves are far more than a religious symbol. They are a source of law.
Sometimes they ask...
Dr. John Eidsmo, law professor and author of Christianity and the Constitution, has provided many of the historical arguments for Judge Moore's case.
The Ten Commandments are far more than a religious symbol. The Ten Commandments summarize and symbolize the moral code, the legal code, civil and criminal code of ancient Israel, and they form the basis for our civil and criminal laws here in America today.
If the ACLU wants to say that we can change the foundations of our laws and the foundations of our country, then they should be honest and do so and not say that we can acknowledge God as long as it's meaningless and doesn't mean anything.
But it's not just the religious portion of the Ten Commandments that the ACLU has a problem with. Attorney Bobby Siegel.
If I were a defendant in a criminal case charged with stealing, you know, it's sort of one thing that a district attorney or a deputy district attorney on the other side saying that the defendant did wrong. It's something else saying it's the word of God Almighty saying that this person did wrong.
As Washington said, without a relationship to God, we would lose our morality. And that is what is being seen in our courts and our public institutions every day.
I, Roy S. Moore,
do solemnly swear,
do solemnly swear,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
On August 1st, 2001, about 7 months after being sworn in, Chief Justice Moore donated a 2.5-ton monument to the people of that state to be housed in the Supreme Court building. It features the Ten Commandments and many historical quotes showing how American law is based on God's law. In October 2001, Chief Justice Moore was sued to remove the monument by the Southern Poverty Law Center, by Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and, of course, the ACLU.
The ACLU claims to oppose censorship, and yet when it comes to religious speech, the ACLU is the nation's number one censor.
In 2002, a lone federal judge, Myron Thompson, ordered the monument to be removed. When Chief Justice Moore refused to comply with the order, he was eventually suspended and the monument removed by force. Judge Moore maintained that the order was illegitimate and that the rule of law is not the same thing as the rule of lawyers. In November 2003, Chief Justice Moore was fired from his job for taking such a stance.
I think Judge Moore's a hero. The fact that he was willing to sacrifice his career, his high position, to stand up for what he believed in drew more attention to the case than I think it would have gotten otherwise. I think his crusade, if you will, has really begun to stir the debate, maybe more than any other issue, as to the fact that the courts are out of control.
The problem is not the Constitution. The problem is the courts. The problem is the judges. And the judges ought to be taken back and put into the narrow corral that was intended for them by the Founding Fathers.
It's encouraging to know that Roy Moore is back as the Chief Justice of Alabama's Supreme Court. It takes a real hero to take a stand for Christ as a public official today, given all the opposition they face from the ACLU and its ilk. Roy Moore stood his ground, even when it cost him. He's the kind of hero America needs more of today.
Thankfully, God in His grace often does raise up heroes for such a time as this. Indeed, history is full of great men and women who were empowered by God to stand for the truth and advance the kingdom of God, often against fierce enemies of the gospel. And today we want to share some of their stories with you on a compelling new 5-DVD series called Heroes of the Faith. This set features 5 stirring messages from Dr. D. James Kennedy on such Christian heroes as Martin Luther, Christopher Columbus, St. Patrick, whom we just celebrated this past week, and William Wilberforce, the 18th century Christian statesman who led the charge in Britain for about half a century to end slavery. These messages will encourage you and embolden you to take your own stand for Christ. And we will send this set to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount for the ongoing work of this ministry. To get your 5-DVD set, Heroes of the Faith, simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org. This DVD set is not available anywhere else but through this ministry, and we believe these messages will serve as a rich treasure for you and your loved ones for years to come. In an age when absolute truth is denied and when Christians are becoming more timid about declaring what they believe, you'll be so encouraged as you hear the stories of these great Christians who literally changed history. Please don't delay. You'll want to have these messages for yourself as well as to share for your children and grandchildren, your small group or Sunday school class, and even your pastor. Again, simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org.
It's your gifts that continue to enable us to broadcast these vital messages, and we thank you for standing with us for truth in an age of relativism. Some of you can give $50, $100, or even $1,000 or more, whatever the Lord enables you to give. We are so grateful for your support. We look forward to hearing from you as you partner with us. May God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America with a new great awakening.
A video of today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. So please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
Lord, he wrote, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden upon me, only sustain me.
What we are seeing time and time again is gay rights trumping religious rights. The courts are consistently siding with gay couples on this matter.
That's next week. This has been a production of Truth in Action Ministries.